driven by my buddy Mike. We're fishing out on the basin for alligator walleye pike. Emo brought his TV and Routy's beagle Fred is too old to drive a rabbit, so he comes fishing with us instead. We got lawn chairs, a poker table, a nice cold keg of beer. We're loaded down with so much stuff, Mike can't hardly steer.
Hey, what's up for the stir?
When he opens in a pond to
a... I love starting a show with this song. I don't know about you guys, but it just makes me happy. That's Di Upers and Fishing with Fred. And anyway, this is Radio Fishing, and we're going to be talking about, guess what, fishing stuff. It's hard to believe, but yeah, we're actually going to get into fishing stuff. Fishing Frank here in the chair. We got Robert in the chair across from me. We got Captain Morris Campbell. We got Captain Carl Buttigieg. And today we're going to kind of get into snook. Snook is one of those rare creatures because they don't really live north of Tampa. You got to go either to Florida or Texas to find them. It's a destination game fish. You can go to Costa Rica and catch them, you know, but it's, you can't, if you go too far south, it gets too cold again. They're very temperate zone fish. At 60 degrees, they go to sleep. 50 degrees, they're going to start dying. So they can't live in those colder waters. Now, so this is one of those fish that if you're living in Iowa or Wisconsin or whatever, it's a fish to dream about. I think most of you guys have caught a largemouth bass at one point or another. And what you got to think about is a bass, somebody gave some really exotic drugs, and then the Russians came in and gave it strength enhancement drugs, you know, prepping it for their Olympic team, right? I mean, yeah. This is kind of the way it goes with snook. Robert, what's your feelings about snook?
They're honestly one of the more easy fish to catch in our area if you are coming from a bass fishing background.
But it's exotic, it's strange, it's mystical. How can it be easy to catch?
If you apply all the same rules you already know about largemouth bass fishing, you'd be surprised with how easy they can be to catch.
Okay, got me there. Morris, what do you think about snook?
I love snook. It's a premier game fish of Florida. I mean, I've guided for snook 23 years. People are always amazed, especially the bass fishermen or the folks from up north that walleye fish, pike fish. They come down and, you know, they say, oh, well, the northern pike is just the strongest fish in the world. And then the first, you know, reasonable size snook they hook up, they almost die. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh.
That's a lot of oh, my gosh. All right, Carl, what's your thing with snook? What's special for you?
Snook are amazing fish. I mean, they're fun to catch. They jump. They're very, very strong, and they can be a challenging, you know, most of the time, but for the most part, they can be very easy to catch.
I would say one of the things for me that really kind of sets off snook above and beyond other fish, it's the one fish you can come to the southern areas and you can fish for them, and having a boat may not be a benefit. Because these are not fish you're going to take a boat out to the middle to catch. These are fish that live under docks. They like hanging around boat ramps. If you have a dock behind your house, a fishing pier, these are fish that are right there. Now, I would say, can you guys think of anything a snook does not eat?
Not really.
No.
Okay. This is a fish that you're going to hear stories of. You got to have this perfect little bait fish, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And I always think back to back in the early 90s, an older lady came in, 42 and a half inch snook. She got it on her pole. It was one of those push button spin cast things. She had like 12 pound test on it, a steel leader with a sinker and the beads, a ready rig, we call mm-hmm. it. It's like the stereotypical tourist rig. When you come to Florida, you grab the steel leader, you throw it out there. She had about a half a piece of dead shrimp on it and a 42 inch snook. It'd yep. be excited beyond belief. And this was when they were legal. You
right.
know?
Yeah.
And it's the one fish where you got to be fairly lucky or fairly skillful to get a big one, but they readily hit lures. And I think we're going to kind of get into a little bit of that right now. what I want to do is, let's see here, we're going to get into the lures. All right, so what we did was, we're at Fish and Frank's. It's a bait and tackle store. It ain't no boutique, but it is the one we all work out of. It's been there since, like, I don't know, forever. But we went around the store, each picking something. You can use a variety of live baits, literally almost anything. But we're going to talk about some of the different lures. And what we did as a challenge for the guys was everybody picked two lures they have caught a fish, a snook with. Now, the hard part about this, everybody had to pick two lures that they have not caught a snook with and would like to try for a snook. And now, Carl, for me, the biggest challenge was finding one I have not caught a snook with.
Yeah. I mean, majority of lures, you know, freshwater, saltwater, they're going to work on snook. I mean, they're opportunity eater. I mean, they like to eat.
It's crazy. Now, Morris, how was it for you? Did you have a problem finding lures that you caught a snook with or haven't caught a snook with?
Well, I actually chose, one of my selections was a new model of a lure, which is kind of based on an old model that I've caught plenty on, but I haven't fished this particular one yet.
Gotcha. So you were having a real hard time finding one you have not caught a snook.
Had customers catch pretty good size, like 15-pound snook on a 16th-ounce crappie jig before. We've caught them on finesse worms, bass fishing. We've caught them on just frogs. My son and I had a snook day, or an inshore day, where we just fished frogs, and they love frogs.
So
they'll knock the heck out of a frog.
Basically, hard time finding something you have not caught a snook on. Robert, how was it for you?
It was really difficult, actually,
to find something you have not used on a snook. Mm-hmm. It, you know, when we do these little challenges, and we do a lot of podcasts, and we do local radio shows, and, you know, we have a lot of fun with all this, and one of our favorite things to do is this kind of a show. And I never realized how challenging it would be. Okay, guys, pick something you haven't caught a snook with. So I'm going to start out with one that I have caught a snook on. And it's a lure that takes me all the way back to like 1984 when I first started working in the store. And I'd only been in Florida for 4 or 5 years, and I was kind of getting into fishing, but I wasn't a hardcore fisherman. And when I asked my dad, I said, you know, my dad was the first Fish and Frank. And I said, and he's still alive, it's all that. He's just Fish and Frank. He's just old and grouchy and mean and, you know, I mean, you would think he's 8 foot tall, but he's literally like 5 foot nothing, you know. But anyway, hopefully while I'm on the show, you guys get to meet him. But it was a Green Ghost. Now, a Green Ghost is a bucktail jig with white bucktail, and it's got a dark green feather in the middle, tied in the middle of it. It's got a lead jig head. It's got a laughing face on it, and it's called a hot lips or laughing head. And it's literally got the mouth is like red lipstick. And so you've got red lipstick, red eyes, white head, and then white bucktail with a dark green feather in it. Have any of you guys used this to catch snook on?
A lot.
A lot.
We use them a lot in the canals and around bridges.
Oh, well, that's different. That ain't a Green Ghost. That ain't a Green Ghost. Have you used the Green Ghost?
I have.
You have. Robert?
Yeah, I have. I've caught plenty of fish on that.
Yeah, to me, it's one of the most versatile of all saltwater jigs. And to this day, I will argue the Green Ghost bounced along, either jigged through the middle of the water column or bounced off the bottom, is still the number one snook jig, with the exception, possibly, of one other one. And I think Morris grabbed that, but we're going to get into it.
I think that was the very first snook lure you sold me, though, if I remember right, but I'm not 100% sure.
Back
that was about 86 or 87.
Back in the old days, this was my number one choice because it works so well. The problem with people now is they want something fancier. You know, this is used to be a couple bucks. Now they're like $350. But it used to be you could sell somebody something like this and they have confidence in it. Now, if it's not got all this stuff on it, it's got to be fancier. It just can't possibly work.
Right.
So, all right, Robert, what was your first pick?
My first pick is the Rapala X-Rap in the number, let's see,
that's a 10.
10 series.
Now, is there any favorite color, green, blue, white?
The olive green, the OG. It's so one of my most favorite ones, and then anything that's got like the little bit, this one has the kind of green back with some speckles on it.
Anything with spots, lines, it's amazing how that will attract a snook.
Yep.
So you're into the Rapala X-Rap or Rapala, if we're going to speak correctly, Rapala. And really, if you go up to the family Rapala and say, oh, that's a great Rapala lure, they don't take it as well as you would think.
Well, you don't take it. You don't take it well when people mispronounce your name.
I do with my name. Whoever you name me, one person besides you that spelled that pronounced my name correctly. Have we ever met one person who actually said my name correctly?
But they're known by millions of people across the world, and their stuff's on a label and a package.
So
all
because I'm a low-level schmuck, it's okay for me to just blow it off, but yeah, they're more important, so they're not supposed to blow it off.
Think?
Is it Carl? Come on. I'm like, okay, I'm the low-level schmuck here. I'm on the bottom of the muck pile, so it's okay for people to bash my name, but Rapala? No. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Robert.
Saying.
Just toss me into the hole, buddy.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out how they mispronounce Frank.
Okay. Touche. All right. So you're Rapala X-Rap. Number 10. Now, is that the best size, or is there other sizes that?
Well, the 8's absolutely incredible also, but the 10's kind of my go-to every time.
Carl, what do you think of the X-Rap 10?
They're great. I mean, they're very versatile. I control them in the canals. I mean, you can blind cast them. You can work them slow. There's a lot of good ways to use them. They work very well.
Morris?
It's a great bait. Caught many snook. Multiple species will take that X-Rap. I mean, anything from freshwater peacocks to you can catch a giant snook on it, tarpon like it. Yeah, I mean, it's a snook lure. Yeah,
all right. So did anybody else pick that by any chance? So another single. All right. I did grab one. I brought a backup stash.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know I'm only supposed to have four, but I'm fishing Frank.
That's why
I get
you're the
to
boss.
Break the rules. Yeah, I'm the boss. When you write the paychecks, you get to actually
he
break
the rules and
rules.
Changes them regularly.
Is that fishless Frank or fishing Frank?
Okay. All right. I get where this is good. Okay.
Now, the reason why I really like this bait is like what Carl mentioned. It's a suspending style bait, but because of that, you can work it very slow. And when you do pause, which is like the best action of any lure, you get a little bit of hang time with that lure before it wants to slowly come back up. So I feel that I get a lot more hits on the pause of this lure than, say, a floater diver type lure.
Gotcha. Now, I've used the X-Rap Catch and Snook, and I think the most memorable place I caught snook with it, I was back at the yacht club here in Charlotte Harbor. And they've got a big yacht club with all kinds of boats and everything in there. And then they got a very small opening. And then they got a rock kind of jetty goes out on both sides. And I was anchored out there. And one of my buddies had walked up from the shore. And he was throwing a gold spoon. I was throwing the X-Rap from my boat. And he eventually, I went over and got him and he climbed in the boat with me. We were both sitting there casting the snook. But working it, I was slow reeling. Little twitch, pause. That channel coming out, and with that tide was actually coming in, so the water's being forced into there trying to fill the basin up, and those snook were just, I mean, it was every fifth cast with that. Do you have a memorable spot where you caught with an X-Rap?
Honestly, behind my house. Just, I mean, I'm lucky enough to live on the water, so one of my best times was standing back there on a really just gorgeous fall night where there was no bugs to destroy me. The tide was perfect, and it was probably about every fifth to tenth cast I either hooked a fish or landed a fish from 15 inches up to about probably the biggest one was only probably about maybe 30 at the most.
Yeah, we were
the
averaging
majority are 15 to 24 inches, but it was a blast.
Yeah, I was averaging 24 to 32 inches on those fish.
Oh, no, mine were much smaller.
Yeah. That's why I say it was so memorable, because it was just some really nice fish coming in.
Yeah, this was just numbers, and it was a hit about every third cast, but to actually get a stick, you know, stick a fish and he'd jump and either throw the hook or whatever, so it was just a good time.
Any memorable spot with an X-Rap?
Oh, absolutely. My absolute favorite X-Rap experience on a snook was I was out at my boss's place out in the Boca Grande, right on the pass area, so looking out on the Boca Bar. And I am out there looking around the docks and everything, and there's just a enormous school of big redfish laying out there, and a few big snook that are scattered along. So I had a spinning rod with an X-Wrap, and it was the olive green one. I went and got it out of my truck, walked out, and made a cast into those redfish, and I brought it back through the redfish, and the school just kind of come up to it, but a big snook came up and took it away from the redfish. And I'm standing on a dock with a 40-inch.
That's awesome.
I've got a 40-inch snook on a little 2,500 spinning rod and reel. And it goes down around a dock, so it's shallow. So I bail off the dock, and I go around and pass it through the pilings on the next dock, land it two docks down.
So you're crawling underneath the docks trying to get your – you got to jump off the pier, go down into the water, walk underneath the pier, get up, start fighting your fish, walk to the docks, crawl underneath it, go through it.
Fortunately, how many shallow pilings, and sandy.
How many pilings did you have to go around?
Well, he didn't wrap any of them because when I knew he was going to make the pier, I opened my bail.
Oh, okay.
And he just kind of – he went through the pier, but he just kind of relaxed. I got everything cleared from the next dock. I closed my bail real tight on him, put the drag up a little bit more, and he takes off for the next dock. So repeat procedure and land him two docks down.
That's awesome. All right, Carl, any favorite memories of X-Wrap?
I throw them in the canals a lot because we got a lot more water depth in the canals. And just fishing all those docks in the canals, either trolling by them or anything, I mean, we catch a lot of fish in our PGI canals on them.
All right. Well, Morris, you're up with what's your first lure that you have caught a snook with?
Okay.
This is one you have used.
Okay, and it's very similar to one you chose. And mine is called a red-tail hawk.
Red-tail hawk is absolutely amazing.
It is a snook catching machine, something that I like to do different because back when I first learned about this in the 60s, they actually made a red and white jig, but they didn't make the longer tail on it back then. So what we had to do was get a plastic of some sort, and back then it was a Boone 6-inch worm, and it was bright red. And I just brought along some Gotcha twister tails because they worked probably just as good, but we would put the 6-inch worm on it, probably trim it off 2 inches and put it on. And we would bump this thing, especially around passes and the beach, and we would bump it off the bottom, and night or day, you would catch some of the biggest snook. They bite this with a vengeance. They hook up on it. They don't throw it out very easily because it's a single hook. It's a fish catcher, and it's $3.
Now, what he's talking about by a red tail hawk, it's a white lead-headed jig. Mm-hmm. It's got one hook on it. The head is white, and then it has bucktail that goes back. Some people use mylar, a lot of different materials, but the old original ones were bucktail. Then what they took is a bunch of longer hair or usually some type of synthetic material painted a dark red. I mean, it's fire engine red, the originals. And that was about, again, as long as the bucktail. The bucktail would go back 2-3 inches, but that long red streamer. And it was always made out of hair. It was never out of a ribbon. It was always made out of some hair, either natural or synthetics, but it had to be long. It had to be 3 to 5 inches longer than what the actual bucktail was. So you have this big white thing going in and it looked like a trail of blood behind it. And you bounce it up and down, just like the Green Ghost, just bam, bam. Guys are still using them at the dams. Carl, you been in a red tail hawk?
No, I've actually never thrown one of them. I've thrown stuff that's very similar to that, but not a red tail hawk.
Well, you were really young at the time, you know.
Yeah.
You know, this is, we're going back when you were like in grade school. And the awesome part about it is it's all new again. This is a lure that was big, 50 or the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, fell completely out of fashion halfway through the 90s. I'm probably the only store that stocked them for years, and then all of a sudden now everybody's got them. Even we quit carrying them back in, what, about 2005?
Yeah, probably so.
And then now all of a sudden we've got bunches of colors and sizes and stuff. Everything old is new again. Robert, have you used a red tail hawk?
Yeah, I have. And with pretty darn good success in all manners, but I've always liked it, like, where there's faster moving water, it seems like, whether it's a pass or around bridges where there's some good water flow around the pilings, has always been the most success for me.
All right.
Yeah, I caught my very first snook on a red-tailed hawk, and I caught that thing at John's Pass off the old John's Pass Bridge. It was flat then. This is circa 1968. And I caught a snook on a spinning rod, and I didn't even have a leader on that stupid jig, and I still landed about a 10, 12-pound snook on it.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Now, Carl, you're up. What's your first lure that you're going to pick that you have caught a snook with?
You know, when I'm fishing for snook, especially early in the morning, there's nothing like watching a snook come up and hit top water.
Amen.
Rapala Skitter V is, you know, that's my number one top water lure that I throw.
This is a very new lure, mm-hmm. and this lure has only been out maybe a year.
Yep.
And so now it's already your favorite lure. What is special about the Skitter V that, now, for those of you listening, a Skitter V is a topwater lure. It sits on the top, it's kind of cigar-shaped, and it's a copy, the original ones were Zara Spooks, and everybody has them, Top Pups, Top Dogs, this, that, Sammy's, whatever. Every lure company has a copy of a Zara Spook. But Rapala went one step further with it. They came up with a very cool modification from the old round kind of cigar look, you know, pinched at both ends, rounded at both ends. What makes this Skitter V so different?
You know, on the bottom of it, like unlike other ones, they're completely round, they're the same shape. They put a keel on the bottom of this one. It comes to like a point, so it gives it a lot more action in the water.
So therein lies the V. It's kind of like a V-hulled boat.
Yep.
And that makes them, what, work easier?
They get a lot more, like, wider action on when you're twitching them back and forth. And then they also have a big knocker in them, too. A big, you know, big knocker.
I don't know if you guys can hear that, but that's actually the ball. They put a steel ball bearing inside of the lure. And that's what it sounds like when you're working it. That's about right, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's going to make a snook or a redfish, that's going to make those fish go crazy. And it's that moderately deep tone. Now, Zara Spooks, a much higher pitch. Mirror Lure, Top Dogs, Top Pups, much lower pitch. And it's that pitch, getting that sound just right to attract that fish real. Believe it or not, that tone has a lot to do with it. Too high, too low, they're going to back off. This one really seems to hit it on the mark.
Yeah, I mean, ever since they came out with this, I switched over to it, and this is the only one I throw now, whether it's daytime or nighttime. I mean, this top water works very, very well.
Robert, what's you on the Skitter V? Have you used it yet?
I have not used that one yet.
Yeah.
I just stick with the old school Zara Spook.
I can tell you, I'm like Carl, I'm in love with the Skitter V. I've used it freshwater once, I've used it a couple of times in saltwater. It really works so much better than the old Spook. I'm a real hardcore Zara Spook guy. I like the old and originals, but man, that Skitter V, it's awesome. Morris.
Something I found out about the Skitter V is, it does have the V on the bottom of it, and also that makes it sit different in the water than a round lure. So when you actually twitch this or walk the dog with it, you're getting more flash, and the fish is actually getting a better target to hit. You know, it's putting your hooks down just a little bit lower where they're going to hook up better. And it, you know, the colors are perfect on these things. I mean, you know, the right amount of flash. You know, you don't have to have a photo finish that looks just like a live fish, but you know, the way these are dressed up, they catch fish.
I mean, well, what's amazing to me is, and I love the fact you brought that Skitter walk up, because what goes on with the topwater lures, you see them and they get a white belly, one's got a black back. The next one's got a white belly, it's got a blue back. One's got a white belly, it's got all different colors on the back. Now that lure's sitting on top of the water, the belly's in the water, the back's out of the water. It made me nuts for about 10 years trying to figure out what difference does it make. I mean, the bottom's in the water, not the top. The fish are looking at it from underneath. They're never seeing that part, so I thought. So one day, get together, and I'm with a couple of guys, and this actually even before you started working here, Robert, I went, got underwater. I threw the lures in the water, and went underneath. And I'm underneath the water looking up. Now, I started out with a mask on because I thought having the diving mask on would give me one set of vision. And then I took the mask off to look. And I did it in a lake. And so there I am underwater looking at it. And to my shock and surprise, when there is a lure laying on the surface of the water, this topwater lure laying up there, and there's that white belly, and you see that. Now, if you were to put three fingers up and put them out flat, your middle finger would look like the belly of the lure. Your ring finger and your index finger right next to it show you the colors of the back of the lure. The fish are literally seeing it in triplicate. The center one is actually the lure. The one on the side, the left and to the right of it, are the reflection of the top. That's why those top colors are so important. If you need one to look like a frog, if you're working around a lot of lily pads, you put a frog pattern on, every time that lure stops, it's a frog. And you see the belly and the sides of it right there, all reflected off the water. It's really cool. I have no idea how the water does it, but that's why the color on the top of the lure is so much more important, because I would have never believed it.
Oh, but yeah, you can see it.
And it was more evident when I took the mask off, by the way. When I had the mask on, I could see the color definitions better, because human eyes work better with the mask on, because we're made to work in air, not water. But when I took the mask off, I couldn't see as well, but the distinction was more. I could see the lighter and darker thing with more distinction, although I could see the colors better with the mask. But I remember thinking, wow, I popped that mask off because I wanted to get more of a, you know, I wanted to be what it was like in the water when I looked. And the color contrast was much better. All right. Let's see. That was Carl. So I guess it's back to me. All right. What I'm going to go with this time is one more that I've caught snook on. Now we'll get into ones we're wishing to. We'll see who's used them, who hasn't. But I was picking this. I actually got on the phone and called Mark Nichols. I was talking to him about, you know, he's loading a boat. He's over, I forget where he was. Mark is always fishing. I wish I had his life. He invents some of the greatest lures in the world, has people sell them, you know, guys like me who are just, I want to sell DOA. Mark is one of the greatest guys in the world. And this is the DOA, and it's a Cal Shad. It's a little 3-4-inch shad lure, and it's number 443. That means it's clear on the top, salt and pepper, with a white belly and a chartreuse tail. Now, this is my go-to snook jig. I use it normally with a red jig head, about 1/4 ounce. But this tail, to me, is literally one of the best snook jigs I've ever thrown, and versatile. I've caught on the flats tons of baby gag grouper and trout and redfish and ladyfish and you name it. But for snook fishing, I love this. But the weird part about it is I got to use it specific. Cast it out, lift it up, reel, and drop the rod tip. Lift it up, reel, drop the rod tip. To get it to act like it's being chased out of the grass, then going down to hide in the grass. Chased out of the grass, going to hide in the grass. Okay, what do you guys think? Socks are good.
Absolutely incredible.
All right, Robertson with the incredible. I'm feeling good. Now, the big test is, am I going to get shut down? Morris, what do you think?
No. You can't go wrong with a paddle tail, especially DOA. You can't. I mean, it's a bait fish.
Now, have you caught snook on these, Robert? I know you have, because we've done it together.
Absolutely.
We've actually done that together.
Right.
How about you, Morris?
I don't know if I've ever have caught those. I caught snook on those.
All right. What about this color? Is this one you like?
That's one I like. I like that in a lot of different places, not just in the harbor, but you know, you're talking, you can catch fish on that way up river in fresh water. You can catch them near the coast. You can catch them off the beach with it.
You okay, Robert?
Mm-hmm.
All right, headphone getting you? All right.
Just like a ring in my ear.
Oh, welcome to my life. Carl, what about you? You ever use these?
Yeah, I do use them. I mean, I do.
You don't
I
like this color, though?
No, I just have a lot better luck with those paddle tails with redfish than I do with snook. But so, I do catch a lot of snook with them, but I really do very well with redfish on the paddle tails.
So this is you're not really thrilled about this for a snook lure. It's more of a redfish thing.
Yeah, more of a redfish or a trout thing.
Well, I'm gonna go a 2.5 with Carl, because he does catch fish, but it's just not what I like to catch with it. I actually pull this out if I want to go snook fishing. That's for me. Robert, if you're looking at this lure, what do you think? What fish?
What kind of fish?
Yeah, what kind of fish would you take this to catch?
honestly, I would take it to catch everything because I've caught so many different things on it.
All right. Well, Morris,
freshwater and saltwater.
If you're thinking of this, what would be the fish that comes to mind? If you're thinking, okay, I'm going to go out fishing for blank, would you that you would take this for?
I would take that out for snook and redfish.
Okay. So, all right. I'm not doing that bad. All right. Robert, you're up. You're up because I'm feeling good. I'm getting out while everybody's on that.
Do you use a jig head or do you use?
I use a jig head. Yeah, I'm in the jig head thing.
I'm going with simple, similar to yours, but not quite. Just a plain old Storm Wild Eyes swim bait.
The Storm Wild Eyes swim bait came out a few years ago when Taiwan mastered a production project of being able to cover in that soft plastic the entire jig head and everything. So instead of having to put a separate jig head in, it all came as one bait. They're still relatively inexpensive, only about $1 a piece, but they have all the cool benefits of the paddle tail shad bodies like I like, except you don't have to put it together. It's completely done. Morris, what do you think of it? Caught snook with those?
I have caught snook on these. I have caught just about everything you can imagine. We've even caught some dolphin offshore on these.
Mahi-mahi, really?
Yeah. Paddle tail, you can catch everything from a walleye to a dolphin offshore with that. Everything bites a paddle tail.
So the Storm Wild-Eyed Shad is one of the top sellers at Fish and Franks. Storm is an amazing company, and when these came out, it just kind of revolutionized it because anybody could go get a paddle tail. They didn't have to learn how to put it together. It was simple. Tie it on, throw it out, reel it in. Okay, your opinion, Carl, Storm Wild-Eyed Shad.
I love them. Whether it's from snook to tarpon to cobia to redfish, trout, I mean, they work. I've caught kingfish off them. They're very versatile. You could troll them behind the boat, or you could like throw them out, reel them in slow, or you could bounce them off the bottom around like docks and bridges. Mm-hmm. They're a great lure, and the hook's actually pretty strong.
Got
on
a good hook on them. Yeah. We've caught a lot of grouper on those.
You know, it's hard to imagine that. You know, our price. There's three lures in a pack, and it says Storm on the front, Lightning Bolt. These are the 4 and 7/16, but you can use them in all sizes. We sell them from very small to very large. At $3.69, it's like $1.20 a piece. And
can't beat that.
Awesome price, and they last. Anybody got a favorite spot or a favorite thing for Storm Wild?
I'll be throwing them tomorrow for tarpon.
I was just going to say tarpon. A small tarpon? Yes, sir.
Oh, no, I'll be throwing them for the big tarpon
tomorrow. Are you going to be used this size or bigger?
The bigger. The biggest
one. That size.
Okay, well, this size for, some of those,
PGI tarpon or Spring Lakes or something like that. Mm-hmm.
All right, Carl, for tarpon, you're using what, the 5 or 6
the
inch?
6 inch.
6 inch.
Bunker color is the one I like.
That gold one.
Yes.
Awesome. All right, snook show. We won't do that. But, okay, everybody here has caught snook on a wild-eyed storm shed.
Yes, sir.
And the other, another reason why I like those so much is because they do come in a variety of colors, so you have options depending on what your confidence is or your water clarity.
And size.
But, and the size also, but the main thing I really like about any type of swim bait paddle tail is that they're a versatile lure. Like Carl said, you can bounce it off the bottom, you can do a slow retrieve, a fast retrieve, or you can just haul butt right across the surface with it, depending on the aggressiveness of the fish. So that's the thing that I love, that I like most about that.
Don't be afraid to throw them under a bobber either.
Oh, now that's Robert's trick there, putting the Storm Wild-Eyed Sheds. Now, here's a question. We take these storm baits, and we do what's called bobber jigging with them. We put a good-sized bobber or float up on the top, and we tie the bait down below it. And literally, the action of the waves or the ripples on the water bounce the bobber up and down, which naturally makes the jig go up and down. Now, has anybody here bobber jigged up a snook with one? I've never done it. I have not used a Storm Wild-Eyed to catch a snook while under a bobber.
No, but I'm going to have to try that behind the house and see.
I mean, I just, for some reason, I never tried it with that. It's a common trick for tarpon with the 5-inch, 6-inch Storm Wild-Eyes. We put them under a float to catch tarpon. I'm wondering, we're theoretically talking about snook. So I'm just trying to figure out, anybody tried it?
Theoretically, it should work.
Should work. I don't see why it wouldn't.
All right, but nobody's done it. Not one of us.
I've not done that.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. We've got something else we may or may not want to try. All right, I forget whose turn is it.
Morris.
Morris, what do you got, buddy?
Okay. Now, I've discovered this lure quite a long time ago. It's been around for a long time. It's an old industry standard, and it is a Bomber Long A, the smaller version of it.
Oh, man. That's going back. That's awesome.
Colors, any color is going to work. I specifically chose a black back, gold mirror sides with orange belly. I think you can catch a snook anywhere you would cast this, from beach all the way up into total freshwater.
Well, I'm going to go back into my very first few months at Fish and Frank's, going, everybody's asking about snook. What do I sell for snook? What are they going to hit? What are they going to eat? 16 AXS 104 Bomber. It is a redhead, white body Bomber. Has been the state-of-the-art classic snook lure since I've been doing this for 34 years, and it was an old trick when I started. The old Bomber lures in the long A in that 16 size, now you can get them with two hooks, you can get them with three hooks, it doesn't really matter, but these are the snook classics. The Redtail Hawkmore's brought out the 16 Bomber. Nowadays we use more the 15 Bombers because we're not targeting the bigger snook. Bigger snook you're not allowed to keep, so throwing all day, you're going to do it just for fun. But if you're looking for a table fare fish, you go from the 16 down to the 15, you're going to increase the number of hits, you're going to do a lot better. And while the white redhead with white body is the classic, there's so many variations on that, it's unbelievable. Did anybody else pick a Bomber?
Nope. But they were great.
I picked it as a backup, just in case
how
nobody
many backups
got it.
You got?
Well, you know, what
he's
I wanted to be
a
able
sack
to
full
he's
back
got a whole basket of
what
he's
I wanted to be able to do.
He's got a big treble hook in
here
too.
Is
what's
the old AXS 104? And, you know, it's an awesome bait. I wanted to make sure that it got in the show somewhere, so I just pulled it back up. It's literally, when I think snook fishing, I got to go back to the Bomber and the Redtail Hawk and the Green Ghost, because what you learn the very first, when you first start snook fishing, that's the ones that kind of stick with you. When you finally get that big fish on.
Yeah, I don't hesitate to put one of these on if we're fishing and we're snook fishing and we're throwing lures, you know, and I've got access to just about any bait I could ever want to use, and I don't hesitate to put one of these on because, simply put, they work.
Yeah. It's hard. Anybody here not caught a snook on a Bomber?
No.
The Bomber Long A, I mean, Robert, behind your house, out
everywhere.
Everywhere. if you're going to snook fish, you've thrown Bombers.
Absolutely.
Unless you're one of these, you know, new to the industry and you've got to have all these $25, $30 lures, and that $5 Bomber just ain't really appealing because it just can't work because it don't cost $25.
Right.
Right. Carl, any good things with a Bomber?
My personal favorite is throwing them at nighttime around the 41 bridge, Elijah Beam bridge. That's when I like to use them.
Any of the bridges where you have a little bit more water depth, 10 to 12 feet, you got some moving water, you get real dark under the bridge, then you have bright lights from the overhead bridge. The car traffic lights, the street lights up there shining down on the sides creates a dark pattern underneath, creates a really light spot, and you have the light line, that shadow line, and that shadow line is what we're going to fish. That's where those snook are really watching for food. I got to get some better stools, don't I, Morris?
You're good.
You're looking like you're getting a little achy down there.
It was an adjustment.
This is our first show with this group. We've all done many, many shows together, dozens over the years, but this is our first time in our brand new Studio F, and it sucks. And it's hot. There's ants. This brand new studio we built, and it's just got, oh my God, the problems. But we will eventually get it. We will endeavor to persevere our way through it. Anybody else dripping wet, sweating?
It's Florida.
No, the ants were trying to carry off my Bomber there. I had to pull it away from them.
Yeah. I'm looking at this. The ants have literally worked into the timing system on this. I never even thought about it. Why wouldn't I think about ants? We built something in Florida. All right. We are going to be, just so you know, talking about fishing all over the country. I am actually from the Midwest. I've traveled through the Northwest, the Midwest. I haven't gone to the far Southwest, but I've been through the South. I've been up into the Northeast. I've done Europe, Central America, a lot of North America, including Canada. Morris, you've been what, in South America, Central America, North America?
I've guided customers from everything from rainbow trout to blue marlin and everything in between.
So Carl's been a part of the redfish circuit. He has gone, you've gone to almost, what, 6-8 states fishing for redfish all over the place, hardcore into it. And Robert's our walking encyclopedia. What he's here for is when I mess up, he's going to let me know. It's going to be, and he won't let me forget it for a long time. Robert's actually my walk around living brain. He's the one I got to go, Robert, do I know that? Do I know this guy? Robert is the smart one. All right. And anyway, getting back into this, these are lures. We're talking about using lures for snook fishing that we have not used but would really like to. And my first one that I haven't used, and I can't believe I've never made time for it, it's the Savage, the trout. This is one of the most realistic looking swimming lures I've ever seen. If you walk by, you're going to see this. It says real 3D scan and trout, Savage gear. It's actually a bass lure, and you wouldn't believe it because they're 6 inches plus long. But they are awesome snook baits. I've got customers who've caught so many snook with it. It's so realistic. I actually got yelled at by one of these city liberal types for having a hook and a fish while it was floating in one of the tanks. Literally got yelled at by a woman. And she thought it was that real. It really looks that real. But now if you see it on the wall, you're going to walk right by it. You're never going to buy it. But once you've seen it in the water, you're going to buy it immediately. And has anybody used this for snook? It's not one, I don't know why, I don't think of it instantly, I should.
Not for snook, but for other things I have.
I've thrown it behind the house for the snook.
All right, have you caught one on it?
Yeah, just nothing of any size.
All right, for this, as big as it is, you would think that it would be a monster snook lure, and really 18 inches up a leader.
I've caught several in the 18 to 22 inch, the biggest one was like about 28 inches.
It sure looks like a mullet to a snook, I would believe. I don't think they have a taste for rainbow trout, but... That sure looks like a mullet.
Yeah, they call it a trout, but it's I mean, it's a mullet.
I've used them in my lake for bass, and I'm very fortunate to have some really large bass in my private lake. And I use the actual Savage trout that's one or maybe two sizes larger than
that. Use like the 8 or 9 inch one.
Yeah, I use it, and it's a memorable occurrence when one of those big girls comes up and hits that thing. It's, you know, they come up and savagely attack it. That, I mean, it could be why they named it Savage Gear, but it's a savage strike when they do hit it.
Yeah, I was talking to the head of Savage, and you know, we're discussing different stuff, and I was telling him the main problem with this lure is, and they've got these big tanks there on display at ICAST and all these other shows where you see this lure working, and as soon as you see it, you got to buy it. And we do the same at a lot of different events and shows that we travel around for. The problem is, though, when it's hanging on the wall, there's no reason in the world to buy it. You see it working, and it's like, oh my God. I mean, Robert, how many do we sell at an event? Hundreds a day, right?
At an event? Absolutely.
I mean, it's... I mean,
yeah.
I mean... You got to see it work.
A lot, yeah. Without seeing it work, I mean, mm-hmm. We don't sell hardly any just sitting here on the wall.
What, $13? Yeah. I wouldn't buy it. Looking at it on the wall, I'd look at it going, yeah, $13, put it back up. Mm-hmm. Carl, now you've used this a lot. You said you didn't catch snook with it?
Tarpon and cobia I've caught on them. I do a lot of trolling with them, like especially when the tarpon get over there, over by Alligator Creek Reef. I'll troll that behind the boat with a storm paddle tail. Catch cobia and tarpon with them.
All right. I think, Robert, are you up?
Yep.
Okay.
This one's going to shock you guys.
Well,
plain old school mirror lure.
But that's a catch 20. That's a catch 2000.
Right, but it doesn't matter. I don't care if it's that. The only one I can catch one on is at 17. These I've thrown. These, the TTs, none of them. I can't catch a fish on that thing to save my life. You put it in a 5-gallon bucket, give me a 10-gallon net, and I'd still have a difficult time.
Now, he told me that same story a while back. And
I mean, I learned to catch bombers.
Well, He told me that same story a while back when we were bass fishing. I can catch them on soft baits, but you can give me a bucket and a net, and I still can't catch one on a hard bait. And we used something very similar to that Bomber Long A. And how many did you catch, Robert?
A lot.
30?
Yeah, a 25, lot.
25, 30? Yeah.
But there's something about those mirror lure twitch baits I just have a very difficult time catching fish on, period. Except for trout. But when I used to throw those, I could catch a trout with a bottle cap with a hook on it, so that never impressed me. I know that lure is amazing. I know millions and millions of snook have been caught on that mirror lure, but nope, I can't do it.
Well, all right, so you're talking about like 5M TTs.
Yes, I just couldn't find them quick enough, so I grabbed one that was very similar.
Gotcha. All right, so, you know...
But the MR, you've caught plenty of snook on that,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, he's talking about the MR-17.
Yeah, that Miradine. I've done that, but I twitch these. They look great swimming through the water. I tried to emulate you doing it. I tried to emulate your father doing it, and nope. But that's a lure that I'm never going to try again, to be honest. That's just a lure that I haven't caught snook, and I have no desire to try it again.
It's whooped you. It's beat you. You're done.
Well, and it's not one of those lures where I took it out, made a couple casts with it, and said, okay, that's it. It doesn't catch anything like a lot of people do, and we all have done it where we got lures in our boxes that we never touch. But that one, I've actually gone back to it over the years and played with it, and just, no, I can't figure it out. So, done.
All right. Well, Morris, what do you got?
Well,
now, unlike Robert, what we're talking about is one that we have not used, but we would like to use.
I have never tried one of these for snook, and I've never actually tried one in saltwater. It's an inline spinner.
Oh, man, I can tell you, that is a great choice.
I'm
I
sure
love
it
those.
Would be.
It's MEPS was kind of the original, or the big one in that. Mm-hmm. MEPS lures, they've got a line through, they've got a bead, they got a spinner arm, or a flasher arm that goes all the way around them, spinner blade.
Yeah.
And then it's got a treble hook at the back. And it is literally one of my most versatile lures.
I've caught a million different species with this thing, but never thrown it for snook.
I've actually caught snook with those.
I'm sure
it was the size down. That's that big bang tail. I used to sell another brand, which had something to do with chicken tails or something, but they get so expensive. And I can get this. It's a awesome lure. It's from Lure Jensen, I believe, bang tails, and they're much less money and exactly the same thing for a much more bang from the buck. I think that's why they call it bang tail. But I've actually caught snook on one of those, and it's great. So have you ever used the inline spinners, the bang tails, or rooster tails?
I've
or
used
maps?
Them in Louisiana for trout and redfish, but I've never thrown them here, to be honest with you.
Nope, neither have I.
I've always thought about it, but never took the opportunity. And I specifically chose a pink and white one because I've had really good success with pink and white for snook as a color.
Well, I can honestly say it's been many years since I did it. The only reason I've done it was because David, before he passed away, he owned Osun Lures, freshwater lure company. And David and I were forever playing with freshwater lures into saltwater into freshwater. And that's why I hung the mics from the ceiling more, so that's the only thing that happened. But you can't really hear when we bang our hands around because all of us talk with our hands. So the microphones hang from the ceiling, so you only can hit it with your headphones, so that
was
good.
Well, that's some of my old heavy metal days.
Yeah.
Head banging.
Nice.
All right, Carl, you're up. What have you not used that you would like to?
Well, I keep hearing you talk about this rip and stop lure.
Oh, I'll tell you about that one, too. That's a good one.
Oh, man.
I keep hearing a lot of people talk about them, but I just have not got around to using one yet.
I'm going to say wait. They got a bigger size coming out. It's going to be much better for the saltwater. The Ripstop is about 2 years old. It first came out the very first time. I'm going with Captain Morris Gamble. We're taking my dad down to Miami to go peacock bass fishing. And Jim from Rapala was on I-75. He calls me up. We're chatting. Nah, how's it going? You know, and he says, what are you doing? I said, well, getting together with Dad, and we're going to go down with Morris down to Miami. He says, you're going freshwater fishing? I said, yeah, we're on our way to Miami, and we're going to do peacocks and maybe some clownfish and stuff like that. And he says, man, I got some new lures you got to try. He had one of those. One. And I was so disappointed because the first day, Morris and I, you know, we're sitting out there, Morris is catching all these fish, and I'm throwing this, and it's like every second, third cast, it's peacock bass, peacock bass. That ripstop was astounding. Was second day fire. We get out, bass, largemouth, 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 largemouth. And Morris is one of those guys, when you go out fishing with him, you just fish after fish. It was awesome. But the tail broke, and that's why that one's no good in salt water. See how the treble hook, if the fish hits hard, it's going to come up, and it's got a lip in the front, it's got a lip in the back, and that lip in the back gets snapped off, and it don't catch nothing. Mm. I mean, I was keeping up to you and your tried and true, there, wasn't I, Morris?
Yeah, absolutely.
But the idea of this is supposed to keep your bait in the strike zone longer, isn't it?
When you twitch it, it has a front lip and kind of a back lip, and it gives a lot of action, and then when you stop moving, it stops. It just boom.
It freezes and suspends, and you know, a lot of times that something that's chasing it or in pursuit of it, that thing stops and it kind of does a little sideways motion with it when it stops. A lot of times that just sends them over the edge and they just plaster it.
I think what it is when something's terrified, it runs then stops to see what it is that's chasing it, and it's that terrified stop that just
struck. Hey, if something was chasing me to eat me, I wouldn't stop. I'm gone. See
you. Well, that's why you're still alive and the fish ain't. Robert, what you got? Or was
it you?
It's me.
It's you.
I don't have a real good one. I've got one that it's a modify of a jig head, and it's based on the old Roadrunner. It's Strike King. It's called the Tour Grade Spin Head. And what is a jig head, and it's got a willow blade spinner underneath the jig head, like the old Roadrunner
yeah.
But it's in the size for a snook or a redfish. I think this thing you put in on the soft plastics, what do you think, Robert? Anything?
Oh, yeah. No, I think that'll absolutely work on just about any soft plastic you want to put on it.
Now, here it's not going to work if it had a Colorado blade on it, but that willow blade, I'm betting, might attract
a
snook.
Willow blade makes a big difference. If you got a Colorado blade, then you go to the Little George, which I've actually caught snook on the Little George. I've never tried this one, but we've also caught some monstrosities down in Miami peacock bass fishing on just the regulation Roadrunners.
Okay, guys, we're down to the last, like, literally minute. Carl, what's that on the desk?
Okay, don't laugh.
Okay, I'm going to laugh, this but you only got like a minute here.
I knew he grabbed the duck lure. I knew it was a duck.
When we're in our canal systems fishing a lot, we're seeing all these ducks running around our canal systems. And, you know, with snook just wanting to eat all the time and going after stuff, I always wanted to try one of these little ducks.
Now, that's a Savage Gear duck. Okay, in 20 seconds, Robert, what do you think of a Savage Gear duck for snook?
Bass eat them in a skinny minute, so do pike, and I'll guarantee you a bass and or a snook and a tarpon will eat that.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd wager a lot of money on that.
Boris?
I would have to try it just to see those precious little duck feet wiggle behind it. That's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
I'm looking at the desk. We got spinners. We got, you know, lures and, you know, treble hooks. There's a duck. It's of a duck.
You always said try something you always wanted to work. You see a lot of ducks in the canals.
Man, I'm loving it. That's awesome. Now, that's straight out topwater?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll work.
So I'm thinking first thing in the morning, you know, nice and calm back right along the shoreline, and you cast it out. Here's a little duck swimming along, flopping his feet. Boosh!
Whenever I see the ducks, I always sit there and watch them. I'm waiting for it, but I haven't seen it yet.
I've seen the bass do it, but never seen the...
I've never seen a snook come up and eat them. I've seen a bobcat in a tree waiting up there, and all of a sudden... into the water the cat goes and comes out with a snook in its jaw.
Nice.
That's got to be one of the weirdest ones. We're all going to say goodbye. We're running out of time here. Robert, any last words?
Nope. I'm good. Yeah, no words of wisdom at the moment. I'm still thinking about the duck and then the bobcat.
Captain Morris Campbell.
Hey, if it quacks like a duck and it swims like a duck, a snook might bite it.
All right, say goodbye, Carl, Captain Carl.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on this duck thing, too.
Okay. All right, let's see. I don't know why I can't get the music to play. Ah, there it goes. And I guess this is Fishing Frank. Robert in the chair next to me, Captain Morris Campbell and Captain Carl Budigin of KB Backcountry Charters. But we're Fishing Frank's Radio Fishing. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Unfortunately, you're probably going to hear more of us. So kind of hang in there, stay tuned, and we will be back with you hopefully soon. We'll like next week.